Okay, let's get started. I did one little sweep, so we're clean. We're picking up, really finishing the conversation that we started last time. Last time we were trying to define what is the definition of Beis Hashlachin. We noted the Svara behind it for Chol HaMoed. There's going to be a Svara we're also going to see for the Halachos of Shemitah. But ultimately, we're trying to find a definition and then see from where does that lead. So we talked last time. The Rambam seemed... Listen, so let's just go over it. The Mishnah, okay, talks about, says that we're allowed to water a Beis Hashlachin on Chol HaMoed and during Shemitah. Okay, ultimately the Gemara goes into more detail and says that it asks specific questions about Mayan Shiatze B'tchila or Mayan Shalayatze B'tchila, and as a question, ultimately what the Gemara gets to is, the Chiluk is, what are you allowed to water B'moed? Is a Beis HaShlachin as opposed to a Beis HaBaal. Okay, Beis HaShlachin in, Beis HaBaal lo. That's really the thing. And then the Gemara goes on with very interesting, sort of agadic tint to it. How do we know that Shlachin is dry? Is something that's thirsty for water, and we brought because the Targum says that Ayef v'yageya of Amalek, or we had the Aruch, that Esav min hasadeve, who Ayef, which means thirsty in those scenarios, both because Klal Yisrael were thirsty in Rephidim, which is where Amalek attacked, but also because Esav was coming back from the field thirsty. So too, so we see that's translated by the Targum of Mishalhi, and Shlachin is the same word. Okay, this is one part of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, and what about Beis Habal? How do we know that that's Lishna de Miyasvusa? And the answer is, because of the Pasuk, Kiv al Bachur Besula, Yivaluch Banaich, Umetargaminan, Arekema de Mitosav Ulamim Beselta Yisyasvun Begavech Banaich. So, we talked about, again, the Rambam generally followed this in the Perasha Mishnayos when he gave an introduction, which we did not bring this time. This is just a quick chazar from last time. Did mention trees as potentially part of Beis HaShlachin. We don't want the trees to get lost. We see Rashi over here who gave our, this, again, whatever you want to call it, not really Rashi, but Rashi over here on the Amud, who says, Sada Shehi Omedes Bahar, Beis HaShlachin is high elevation, and Beis HaBal, on, which is the opposite, Sada Hu Ba'emek. Okay, that was what we quoted last time from Rashi. And the Ritva was much broader. He notes that the word Beis HaShlachin appears in multiple contexts in Shas. And he says we shouldn't be quick to say, oh, it's not a vegetable garden, it's not a tefuah garden, it's everything that needs water. If it needs water and it's going to dry up, that's what a Beis HaShlachin is. Which means that it's really only a Beis HaShlachin that you can water, but it's the original definition of Beis HaShlachin, you can water that. Mashainkin, according to Rashi, who says specifically it's a sadeh that's on top of a har, that's the case which you can water, and you need to apply that svara even to non-Beis HaShlachins, such as if it's a place that gets no rain or something like that, even if it's in the valley, if it gets no rain, that will have the same halacha as a Beis HaShlachin, but it's not be'etzem a Beis HaShlachin. That's what we basically talked about last time. We talked a lot about Rashi as well. We talked about what's the real Rashi. So we brought, and we just referenced a couple of points, and that this Ksav Yad we have available to us of Rashi, what we presume to be the real Rashi on Moed Katan. So we're going to start from there and finish up a couple of points, okay, finish up a couple of points that relate to that. Rashi is very fascinating because we saw Rashi quoted by the Ritva, and that was the second to last line in Source Number Aleph, that Beis HaShlachin is an Eretz Ayefa Utzricha Mayim Tadir. It needs to be watered often. That's the definition of a Beis HaShlachin. Yet, fascinatingly, in the very first Rashi of the Masechta in this Ksav Yad, he says the following. So again, we're in Aleph over here on the source sheet. That looks like
you're
last
in
week's.
Aleph or
we're in Shir Beis over here. Did I forget to change the title?
It's right here anyway.
Yeah, I forgot to change the title of the source sheet.
Shir Aleph.
Yeah. Were there two different ones over here?
No,
or that was last
week? Shir Aleph.
Yeah. I forgot to change Shir Beis over there on top. I apologize.
You mean we're in Shir Aleph?
We're continuing Shir Aleph, that's why. I really, what I did is I just cut out some of the stuff that we already did, left more, and then added on a little bit. Anyways, my apologies about that. So, there's also Seamus on this, so please don't throw them out. Please put them away properly. If you want to give them back to me, I'm happy to make sure they're disposed of appropriately as well. Real Seamus. So, there's the Seamus of Hashem, which I did not catch. Usually I like to take those off. So, says Rashi, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin, Sadeh Beis HaShlachin, Sadeh Lavan Shel Tevuah. Says Rashi, what's a Beis HaShlachin? It's a Sadeh Lavan Shel Tevuah. It's literally a white field, which means a field that's growing grains. Okay, it looks like it's white. It's specifically grain. It's not greenery. It's not trees. It's not a paradise. Sadeh Lavan Shel Tevuah. So, Mayim, Nevad. And if you don't water it properly, it's going to be get lost. There's going to be a loss. There's going to be a damage to the field. And as we learned at the end of the Mishnah, which the Meiri is going to mention, and Rashi's pulling out the word depasti, they're going to get lost. Aval hashlachin de'ilan, says Rashi, hashlachin de'ilan lo shari de'lo pasti. What do you see from Rashi over here? What's he saying? So he's saying, which type can you... Very good. Rashi, in contrast to the Ritva, is saying, is essentially agreeing that shlachin can include everything, but is actually limiting shlachin. Meaning Rashi is saying there are things that are referred to as beis hashlachin that in reality you still can't water on moed.
Depends what's growing.
There. Right? Depends really what's growing. Rashi feels that, again, we mentioned before, the roots, that with a tree that's very strongly rooted can get enough water, even though we would consider it elsewhere in Shas a beis hashlachin. Nevertheless, you can't. And for Rashi, then, it's very fascinating because this is his ultimate definition. His second definition, the one down below, Eretz Ayefo Tzricha Mayim Tadir, is his ultimate definition. However, he acknowledges that there may be some which fall into that category, as confusing as that may seem, right, which is very confusing, because they're called a Beis HaShlachin, yet, says Rashi, can't actually water them. Fascinating thing to say.
Why does he have to actually make that distinction? If the test is Tzarech L'Hashkotan, then it doesn't matter whether it's an Elon or otherwise, right?
So his point is to say, people refer to the Elon that needs to be watered more often as Beis HaShlachin,
okay.
And yet he's saying, don't make the mistake of thinking it's absolute. Okay? This idea is again, to me, a tremendous point that Rashi's making over here, because we would otherwise totally miss that. Meaning, up until now, our only thought was, something which is based hashlachin, that for sure you're allowed to water, because that's what the Mishnah says. Rashi is coming to tell us that despite our definitions, even so, you follow the logic, because a based hashlachin dilan can last all the way through Yantif, and last all the way through.
What's the definition of this place called Beis HaShlachin?
Beis HaShlachin is the ones that are more, the ones that require more watering, that may not meet the threshold of needing to be watered over a 7-day yantif, though.
But there's some things in a Beis HaShlachin need watering, or they'll die
over 7 days, and others won't die over 7 days, yet they're still called Beis HaShlachin.
And what's the other term? Beis HaBal?
Beis HaBal is the opposite.
I was going to suggest, is it possible because the fruit is not going to grow to its full capacity if it doesn't get watered? But it can still survive.
Right, but the tree won't die.
That's it.
Right, so we did talk about that a little bit last time. Again, are you actively losing or you're getting less? What does that mean? But again, the chiddush here, which we didn't see before. Before we had people arguing, is Ilanos considered Beis HaShlachin? Right? Is this considered in the category? We never had someone say, this is a Beis HaShlachin, that the Mishnah is only talking about a specific Beis HaShlachin, only a Sada Beis HaShlachin. Very, again, a very big chiddush, I would have thought. It's going to be very, very relevant to what we're going to say later, though.
Is the Beis HaShlachin a location, or it depends on what's growing?
A category. It's a category of field. Not... According to this opinion, it's dependent on location, but according to no other Rishonim do we see that. According to no other Rishonim is that the criteria that I saw.
It's just a place that
the Ritva says it's any place that needs water, which includes Shlachin De'ilan. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Ritva was challenged, and Ritva was the one who brought this up, that other Gemaras call all these different styles of field based on Shlachin. So Ritva says they're all included because they all need to be watered.
Right.
Rashi is saying they're all included, but hey, some of them don't need to really be watered over this time period. So even though they're being called a Beis HaShlachin, doesn't matter, it's not mutter. Okay, now, just to note...
is Rashi saying in this Ksavya that trees never need to be watered? Or there's some that might and some that might not?
He's assuming that in general, orchards, we can assume over the course of Yantif, will not die, will not have a loss.
What's an orchard?
But you won't get
there's trees as
trees.
Well as the grains.
Elan.
What do you call a place with grains?
Sadeh Levan.
But in English, it's not orchard.
I don't know.
Field,
does anybody know?
Field.
I would call it a field, yeah. I mean, I'm not a bucky in these things, but anyways, okay. Bottom line, Lehalacha, the Derech Emunah, everybody knows, anybody ever heard of Derech Emunah, hopefully? Anybody heard of Derech Emunah? I'll start with that. Derech Emunah.
Right now.
Yeah, now I'm really missing Alan Rutman. Derech Emunah is a sefer written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's a tremendous, unbelievable work on Zraim in the Rambam. It's a commentary on the Rambam. So in Rambam, Hilch Shemit of Yovel, Aleph Samach Tes, he says, V'din beis hashlachem ishtana lefi min hanizra ulfi zmano bitkufas hashana. He follows that opinion that it's all about what is nifsad. Okay? And that could mean in different places, at different times. Ultimately, that's the definition that he goes with. I think that's really, truly what's reflected in most of these sources. Putting aside all the technicalities that we've been delving into, ultimately, that's where we're going with the svara over here, which is, if there's going to be a hefsid, it's mutter to water it, not. But let's also, just to know quickly, and I'm not going to go into this too much, because I want to spend a lot of time on Beis Abal, also you can look in the Meiri. Meiri just notes what Rashi noted in Ksav Yad, and I'm not going to read it inside, that there's Yerushalmi. Okay, and again, we'll go into this in due time when we get to the end of the Mishnah, or the next Mishnah, really, which talks about Zeram Shishasu, Lo Shasu, but Meiri starts to give an amount of time for certain things. Kadesha Tisha Shnayim Ushlosha Yamim Sein HaRegel, what makes it a Beis HaShlachen. And let's say it's something, right? And again, the case that the Mishnah is going to discuss later, which we're not going to discuss now, is Lehalacha. Let's say something which can last 10 days. And 5 days before Yantif, I didn't water it. Now can I water it on Chol HaMoed?
No.
Okay, so again, this is Shasul Fnei HaMoed, Lo Shasul Fnei HaMoed. That's what we'll discuss lehalacha when we get up to that point. But the point is, again, we do see that in order to figure out a definition, we do have to find for different cases different things, and that's ultimately how we pass. And just a quick thing in Mekilon, we talked about Mekilon last time, a couple of different things. We saw in different Mefarshim, right? Rashi has over here, right? Velomi Mekilon, Bor Amok, Uvomayim Mechunasin, Deika Tircha Yesera Lidlos. Okay, you got to take it out with a bucket. We said maybe the Kilon was the bucket. Just very interesting. We didn't see it in the Gemara, but Tosfos Arash has sort of a explanation here of the Aramaic or the late Hebrew, early Aramaic or Aramaic influence on Hebrew word kilon. He says, "Guma amuka shmegam misaspim sham," like everyone says, "v'dol men amayim bechadim." But he brings us a pasuk, "V'kad al shechlam targmin on kolasa lakach ulakach nikrain mekilon." Just like the Gemara brought all these different explanations of the terms from the Aramaic, from the Torah, Tosfos Arash does the same thing over here, that v'chada al shechma by Rivka, okay, when it talks about Rivka getting drawing water, it says she had her jug on her shoulder. What's a jug called? Kilon. So mekilon are the ones that you're bringing up with the jug. Now, I want to talk, we started very, very briefly talking about Beis HaBaal last time. I want to spend a lot of time, really the remainder of this year, on what's going on with Beis HaBaal. Let's read the Gemara inside one more time. I'm just interested to hear how you guys understood it. I'll read it very briefly. It's not on the sheet. It's in the Gemara. My mashma the high Beis HaBaal lishna demiyasvusahu he, and what implies that a Beis HaBaal is a lashon of miyasvusa. What does miyasvusa mean? Yishuv. So it's yishuv, right? The tough and the shin are interchangeable. But what does yishuv mean? What can yishuv mean in general? Let's start with that.
Settlement.
Excellent. That's a great one.
Return.
That's from the root shav. Okay, I hear. What else can it mean?
Stable,
yes, I like stable. Stable's also good. Okay, so we've got settled, returned, stable. What else? Calm, maybe? Maybe? Like Yishuvadas, maybe? There can be a number of different interpretations.
Comfortable,
yes, exactly. Satisfied, maybe even, maybe. Not as much, but maybe. And what are we contrasting it to? We're contrasting it to Lishna Ditzahusa or Ditzahusa, which means thirsty. Okay, so somehow, miyasvusa, whatever that means, is the opposite of thirsty in some form or fashion.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled, okay, maybe, on tzifos, haravai tatzmea, right? Rava and tzmea.
Why are the opposites?
What?
Why do you feel they're opposites? They're just different categories, but not necessarily opposites.
So that's fair. I mean, we do see evidence that they're opposites, but you're right. One of them must cover the middle ground, meaning we have to fit every field into one of these two categories, ultimately. So you're saying the Beis HaShlachen is a little tiny hole, and everything else is Beis HaBaal, you could say that, and you could say the reverse as well, which again is more of a Ritva type of everything's a Beis HaShlachen, and everything's allowed to be watered, provided that, again, it's going to die. Again, exactly how we define that, but ultimately, it's true. They don't have to be exact opposites, but they have to cover, at the very least, opposite ground. So that's fair. Now, what's the Raya? Says the Gemara. Dichsiv is written, Kiv al bachur besula, yivaluch banaych. okay, which doesn't bring the whole pasuk here, and the pasuk before also, which we mentioned last time, that always we're talking about an eretz as bi'ula, ulartich bi'ula ve'artich tiba'el. Okay, it's all these Yeshaya, beautiful Shiva Denechemta words. So, ki'ival v'achor b'sula, u'mitargamin, and we translate, ki yiv'al arekema dimitosav. So the word yiv'al, which is ba'al, is translated dimitosav. And not only that, the second time, bachur besula is ulam im besulta. Yisyesvun begavech panayich is the end of the pasuk. Yiv'aluch panayich. Yisyesvun begavech. Okay, so the yisyesvun begavech is which type of yishuv? Is clearly settlement, I would imagine. And certainly, again, we're talking about ve'artech tiba'el from a prophetic vision. It's the land will be settled with people like that. I hear, right? That one works out for me. Which is the first part, is a little bit harder. Is it settling also? Is it something else? Is it satisfied? So let's see what the Rishonim say. And number two, the other thing to keep in mind, over here, in our versions of the Gemara, it just says, Dichsiv Kiv'al Bachur Bisula, which means, what is the Gemara bringing? Which Yiv'al? Which Ba'al is it bringing as a Raya? The first one. Because it doesn't even say Yivaluch Panayich in our Gemaras. If you look in the Rush and the Rif, which the Rush just quotes from the Rif, you will see there that in fact that is not the case. You can look, it's not on here. I just said Ayin Rush and Rif later, and we're going to pay attention, but they actually quote the whole Pasuk. Okay, Yivaluch Panayich. You can look it up there. It's down over here. Right? The different Mefarshim added in both places. But it's certainly in the Rif there. Okay. So, what exactly is a Baal, and what exactly makes it that way? So first of all, just to prove that, again, this Rashi is not really full Rashi, and our Rashi Ksav Yad is a lot closer, okay? Rashi over here, how does he, in Sukkah, which we know is real Rashi, how does he translate Baal? I'm talking about Aravos. Karka she'ena tzricha lahashkos, desagile bimtara shemayim. It's enough. It's enough to have mitara shemayim. Kid amrina b'mashkin v'esashlachim ba'al lishna demiyasvusa kemo kival b'chor b'sula. And targina rekema demiyasev ulemim b'sulta. Again, it's so number one from Rashi, it's the first one. Okay, it's not the second ba'al, which again may or may not make a difference. And what is the definition of ba'al? Karka she'ena tzricha lahashkos. You don't need to water it. Okay, which may mean that ba'al is the smaller definition, and b'esashlachim is a much broader definition. But either which way, Rashi's saying it's enough, and Rashi over here in Ksav Yad says, what's Lishna Demiasfusa? Miyushav. Miyushav, again, closer to settling, I think, right? It's settled. It doesn't need anything. And in fact, you look in the Ran, all these Rishonim have, and I'm not sure if they're saying something slightly different than each other, or I'm not sure if they're saying something that's not different at all, or I'm not just saying something totally different. Says, what does the Ran say? Klamar shenismale cheftzoba. What does it mean? Kiv'al bachur besulat nismale cheftzoba. His desires have been fulfilled. And then he quotes yisyasvun begevech banayich, interestingly also. And basically, saying, you have enough. And the Miri takes this even further, right? He says it very, very clearly. Aval bebeis haba'al. V'hu makom shemei geshamim maspikim lo ve'eino tzarech l'mayim acherim. You don't need anything else. V'nikar beis ha'bal al shem shu dome li'yishuv ba'al v'ishto. Very romantic idea. She'ein echad v'hem tzarech ela l'ven zugo. The only thing you need? You're content. You're happy. Exactly. Satisfied. Content. That's what meyasvusa means, according to these Rishonim. Interestingly, that's not what you see. You see more of the language of miyushav in, really, the Tiferes Yisrael. Torah Tamima quotes it word for word without mentioning the Tiferes Yisrael, which is a separate discussion which we're not going to get into. But he says, Milas Baal, Lishna Demiasvusa. He wrote to Lomar, Shegedela Bisadeh Miyusheves, Lizro Hashem. It's ready to be planted. Dehainu Sadeh Lacha. It's a wet field, moist field, exactly. Wet would not be good for growing. If any of you have been outside, we had Mishmar tonight at Earl Bales, lots of big puddles, Baruch Hashem. But that's the point. The point is that we don't necessarily know what is Lishna Demiyasvusa over here. It might mean set. It might mean settled. It might mean saturated. It might mean saturated. That's a possibility. Interestingly, we have the Ritva, one more. Again, I'm not sure how different this is than the others. But what does he say? Kema demitosav ulemim besulta, klomar sheomid libo meyushav below deaga kiv al bachur besula yiv aluch banayich. It's a worry-free scenario. Your children will live worry-free. You will be worry-free with your spouse. Ulahachi kari beisa balishna demiyasvusa klomar sheha'aretz misyasheves. Okay? It's not about, per se, not needing anything else. It's about a lack of worry. It's a calm that you have. Okay? And according to this, okay, he then quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi.
Who's the one that's not worried and is calm? The field or the owner of the field?
So he's willing to say it about the field. He's anthropomorphizing. He's anthropomorphizing the field. He's anthropomorphizing the field.
Then you shouldn't.
In a Hanami, but we won't call it Beis HaBaal. Maybe the Baal, the owner, is Baal about his field. But I don't see that in the Ritva. The Ritva is saying the field is not worried, but ultimately, of course, we're talking about the owner, that the owner would also not be worried. Not that that's necessarily what makes it that way, but what we're pointing out is that there are different ways to interpret these words of what makes something a Beis HaBaal based on the Pasuk, and each one may be more suitable either for the Resha of the Pasuk, if you can say such a thing, the first half of the Pasuk of Kiv Al Bachor Bisula, is that what it is, or is it Yivaluch Banaich? There's again, they'll be worry-free, they'll be settled, and these are ultimately what is going to help us define Baal. Now again,
maybe that's a good point, that maybe the whole key is that it's not a subjective belief on mm-hmm. the owner's part.
Correct.
It's objective. Does it need the water, doesn't it?
I believe that's what the Ritva would agree to. Yeah. However, there's no question that happens to be true on the side, subjectively. Also, there's someone at some point needs to make a decision. About that, and that will always be subjective to some degree. We try to find as objective measures as we can, but ultimately that's where we're going. Now,
you can't water unless there's going to be a loss. Did we learn that already? Or
yes.
Not? Okay, so what's a loss mean? Things are going to die?
Yes.
What about...
That's a simple understanding.
Rainwater that and a base of bowl that will...
Flood
allow
it?
The stuff to grow... So you're, as an owner, you're calm, you know it's not going to die. But what if you want to add more water so it'll grow better?
That's not. So we talked about
that
last week,
do, right?
And we'll talk about it more when it comes to the actual Malach on Cholamoid, which is, again, hopefully next week. But that's not called a Hefzid. We saw it very clearly last week. We see it clearly in many, many places that it's about...
there has to improve.
Correct. Even if it might improve easily, that doesn't matter, right?
Well, it depends how you define loss. Is loss an absolute
loss of potential profit? Correct. So you just said it. Loss of
potential
profit. Potential extra. And again, the Mefarshim are clear about that. We'll discuss it more. And by the way, it comes up in other areas of halacha that are not just Hilchos Chol HaMoed. In terms of stealing, it's a very tremendous discussion. What is Menias Revach? Right? Withholding someone else's product. I'm not stealing from them. He just didn't get to sell his CD now because I pirated it from someone else. It's very, very big questions, but ultimately for Chalmod we saw last time, and it's quite clear that it's about Hefzid per se, and we'll see many, many Mefarshim when we start talking about Malachim B'Chalmod, that it needs to be a Hefzid in order to justify it. It cannot be that even I can easily make more money. And this will have obviously tremendous points to Halacha. Otherwise, everything's Davar Ha'aved on Chalmod. I didn't go to work today, though there's a big question. What type of not going to work is Davar HaAved? Obviously, again, if you need the money to support your family and to have Yantif, that may be Tzorach HaMoed, maybe other things. It may be Davar HaAved as well, but also if you will have an active loss. People say it in many areas of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. If by not going to work on Chol HaMoed, I will have clients that will fire me or many other analogous
or
loss of salary. But if you're paying yourself and you say, I can make a few extra bucks, so maybe not. These are big, big questions, but hopefully when we get into the Chol HaMoed proper part, we'll really, really see that more directly. Now, I want to see this last point in the Ritva, because Ritva says something very, very interesting. The Ritva says, V'Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, it's not the Yerushalmi here, I looked on this Amud in Yerushalmi, I didn't see it. It's actually a Bavli somewhere else, as we're going to see, V'Yerushalmi. Dimikri Beis HaBaal, Al Shem Shem Mistapek B'mei Geshamim. The Yerushalmi says, called the Beis HaBaal because it Okay? Mistapek. What's mistapek? It's enough. It has enough. It gets its fill. I'm reading in the middle of the Ritva, source number Yud.
Oh, thank you.
Source number Yud. Al Shem Shemistapek Megasham. Very similar, by the way, to what the other Rishonim said. Kima de Amri, as we say, Mitra Baala de Ara. People say that the Matar, the rain, is the Baal of the Ara. Is the husband, is the mate of the Ara. Sheroveya Osa. Revia, for those who don't know, is generally the way we refer to animals mating, or sometimes other things. V'nikru'u ha-geshamim revia rishon of shnia. Have you ever heard revia rishon of shnia? When it talks about the rain, says the Ritva, in the name of the Yerushalmi, that the reason why it's called Baal is because the matar is the Baal of the sadeh. A base ha-baal is a sadeh in which it has a husband. And this husband is Rovea it. Very extreme imagery, very graphic imagery. But ultimately, this is a Yerushalmi that the Ritva brings. And this is what the Ritva says. Now, I'm going to jump ahead to the Rosh Hashanah, then I'm going to go back to the Rach and the Rif and the Rosh. We're going to make some problems over here. Let's make some problems. Okay. So again, we have Rishonim explain this in a variety of different ways. We have settlement. We have contentment, we have satisfaction, we have maybe saturation, or other things, we have worry-free, lots of different definitions. But ultimately, says the Ritva, the Yerushalmi takes a different path, and the Yerushalmi says it's a graphic relationship between the Matar and the Eretz. Okay, take a look at the Rosh Hash. Gemara, Umay Mashmadai, Beis Abalish, Nedemias Vusa, source number Yud Beis.
It's very real because the rain impregnates the soil. So
exactly. 100%. And then it allows it to grow. It's an absolute metaphor. I was actually in my Musar class today. It's a beautiful thought. I actually saw this on Facebook a few weeks ago, quoted in the name of the Gra. I didn't see where it was from. And then I was starting off my Musar course today, first day at Or Chaim. And it's quoted by Rav Eliakim Krumbine as a sefer, Musar for Moderns, where he goes through the modern-day study of Musar. But he brings this Gra in the beginning, that in what way is the Torah compared to rain? Because rain, whether it falls on weeds or whether it falls on beautiful vegetation, fruit, it helps it grow. So if the person that you're pouring the Torah on is a person who's not a Baal Midos, Chas V'Shalom, the Torah might even make that worse. It will cultivate even that. Don't assume the Torah is going to magically fix every character flaw that a person has. It's not enough just to keep halacha and just to learn Torah. That's not enough. You need also Musar, which is to...
Some mothers, right?
Right? Exactly. That's another Maamar Chazal. Okay, anyways. Says the Rosh Hash. Okay, Rosh Hash reads this Gemara. Rosh Hash saw the Ritva. Rosh Hash is obviously very, very learned, much more than I will ever be. And he says the following. Umay mashma yud beis. Umay mashma dai beis abal lishna demias vusa v'chulei. Kashali, says the Rosh Hash. Madua lo ka'amar dila hachi nikra beis abal. Why does the Gemara come up with this weird kiyiv al bachar besula mitosav? What are you jumping? There's a much easier answer. It should say, mishum dimitra bala de arahu. He says the Gemara in Tainis. Vav amud beis. Ulekach nikra revia sheroveya es hakarka uchidichtiv veholi davi hitzmicha. It's a pasuk, right? Exactly. Nasan zera lazareya velechem laochel. It's exactly the rain falls down on the earth and it gives birth and sprouts. It's exactly again the imagery that you were referring to. What do we need to come up with this very far-fetched interpretation? And it's in another Gemara.
Because it's not enough.
What are we twisting ourselves into pretzels? What do you mean it's not enough?
Just because it's Roveya doesn't mean that it's Hashkota. Right? But you can have a one-shot Roveya, and it's still going to be needy of water.
Okay, interesting. So answer number one.
You need to have the content and the settlement, and it has to be more than just once.
Beautiful. I was taking a little bit of a different direction myself, but I like this as well. One possibility to answer the Rosh Hash before we even see anything else, okay? It's not enough to say that there's a single revia. If we're thinking, again, in terms of human or animal behavior, right? All it takes is one time to get pregnant. That's not the case with cultivating land. And therefore, it might give a mistaken impression of what a Beis HaBaal is. This is ultimately very close direction that I was going
in. It might be exactly that is what a Beis HaBaal is. In other words, a beta bowl is where that's all it takes, and that's what makes it a beta bowl, is that one shot, it's done, and so you don't have to worry.
Very interesting. So now we're creating a machlokas over here about which is the correct way to judge the earth.
Right.
Ultimately, again, you could say it's exactly right, that it's sagile.
I'm with the fake Rashi.
You're with the fake Rashi over here. Okay. That's what we have. Again, sagile b'mtara shemayim. Whereas you could have different ways of following this through. Very interesting. Rosh Hashanah, however, says two things. Okay, number one, he says Shuvarsi Ra'isi Bar Ritzva Shevi Kain B'Shem Yerushalmi. Says Ritzva brings it. Okay, number two, V'chein HaRambam Bereish Perek Ches Tepeya Hivliya Tamze Ben Imas Lashona. And the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Ches of Peya, stuck this in there with his beautiful language. Okay, this is what the Rambam did. The Ritzva we saw. The Ritzva is very, very clear that these are two different reasons, in which case it's a very legitimate question for the Rosh Hashanah to ask and say, why did our Gemara choose this one, the Yerushalmi chose the other one, or the Gemara in Tainis says the Rosh Hashanah chose the other one. The Rambam is not really a fair reference for this, simply because there he's explaining the words Revi, Arishon, and Shnia. Now, why does that make it not a fair reference? Let me explain by giving you, first of all, another question, and then a few answers to this question that I hope will wrap things up. We'll start with Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, first of all, should have in your Gemaras. I just said Ayin because you have it in your Gemaras. Rabbeinu Chananel says a very, very fascinating thing in the Gemara here that I would never have guessed myself. And I think you'll see the relevance of it immediately. Okay, it's about maybe 20 lines down. You do need a magnifying glass. Okay? We'll start from right. Ella beis hashlachin shein netuin utzmeim lamayim. About 10-15 lines down. Milashon shilhi kidim etargaminan vihu ayef umishalhi. Aval beis habaal. Listen carefully. Aval beis habaal shekvar gadal vehishrish sharashim bekarka. But a beis habaal, it's already planted roots in the ground. Listen to what he says. Kimo ba'al be'ishto. Like a husband inside his wife. Kidichsiv. Which pasuk does he quote? What would you expect him to quote? Kival bachor besulay valuch panayich. Veholi da vehitzmicha. Kidichsiv. Veholi da vehitzmicha. Quotes the pasuk of Veholi da vehitzmicha. What then, according to Rabbeinu Chananel? Rabbeinu Chananel most likely didn't have an erased Gemara over here. What he probably had was our Girsa, or at least a Girsa similar to it. And even if he had a different Girsa, it's at least justification that what's the Kavan of the Gemara over here? Rabbeinu Chananel says the Rosh Hashanah is completely off target with his question. You know why? Because our Gemara does give that reason. Kiv al bachur bisula kedim targinan yis yasvun begavech, right? Mistosav ulam imbisulta, says Rabbeinu Chananel, is a euphemism. That's what Yishuv Baal V'Ishto is. Living together. That's what's going on in the Gemara here. So the Kasha of the Rosh Hashanah, why did you choose this reason, not this reason? Wrong! It chose that reason. It's the same thing, says Rabbeinu Chananel. This is our Gemara, and that's exactly what it is. And that's why he quotes the Pasuk Poli David Smicha, because it's really the same thing. Now again, you could talk about the setting out roots. Okay? You could get back to the trees a little bit with this one if you wanted. That he's more of like a Rashi guy, right? Like we saw in real Rashi, again the one on the one on our source sheet, not the one on the daf, right? That again, shlachin di ilan lo shari, because why? Let has roots in the field. Again, it can suck up, can take in water, so that's not an issue. Okay, so but according to Rabbeinu Chananel, our clear answer number one is the Rosh Hashanah does not have a question to begin with because our Gemara is identical to the Gemara in Tainis. It's identical to the quote of the Yerushalmi. Obviously, however, the Ritva disagrees because the Ritva brings it as two different reasons, right? So again, we have a machlokas between the Ritva and Rabbeinu Chananel. Ritva says these are two different reasons, and the explanation here is one that is, again, worry-free, whereas in the Yerushalmi, we might say either it's much easier or it's not sufficient. Right? Because a revia either, again, is not sufficient to actually keep a field going, a single revia, or all it needs is one, like you were saying. But either which way, it's either too stringent or too strict.
The difficulty or with this definition is there's Chol Hamoed is Pesach and Sukkot, two different seasons, two different planting.
Yep, so and that's what we said.
This would only be applicable to one of the Chol Hamoed, Pesach.
Yes.
It would not be applicable to Sukkot.
Yes. Because Sukkot is your Chag HaAsif.
So that only works if you're saying trees are excluded. And since the Gemara is here and doesn't do that, you would think trees have to be included.
No, I mean, we have Rishonim that say that trees are not included in Beis HaShlachim, or, like Rashi, trees which are Beis HaShlachim are still not included. You have that.
I'm saying the Mishnah should be Medayek and say, at Pesach time, this is what you're allowed to do for watering.
Well, it's only relevant to Pesach time. Again, except for winter things. Maybe winter wheat and these types of things. You have Sad Elav and Shel Tvua. The point is, the Mishnah is, I would find it bizarre, honestly, if the Mishnah specified Pesach, because it's not a din in Chol Hamoed Pesach. Anytime the Mishnah says a halacha, everyone's like, oh, why is it a din in Pesach and not a Sukkot? So much you have 100 drushes about why on Pesach and on Sukkot, Shabbos Chol Hamoed, you have Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Zmanim, the other one just have Mekadosh HaShabbos, and Chalukin B'Karbon Osein, and drushes and drushes and drushes. The Mishnah is going to say, B'Med Varmah Morim B'Pesach. No, the farmers know that on Pesach you're worried about this plant, on a Sukkot you're worried about that plant. I'm not sure I agree with that. But let's continue, though, because I think this, you said they were talking about, goes much further. Look at the Rif or the Rush. If any of you have either the Rif or the Rush, you're going to notice something fascinating that I may have mentioned last week. I don't remember if I mentioned it last week or not. But I mentioned today, I referenced today, I didn't mention it yet. If you look in the Rush, what is the Rush meant to do? What is the Rush's job? Or even better, what's the Rif's job? Let's start with the Rif. What's the Rif's job? Anybody give me?
Pull out the halacha.
Tell you what the halacha is. Tell you what the psak is. Right, as I regularly say, every once in a while I get I said this, right? But we're going to go a little bit further. Okay? I regularly tell my students, for those who weren't here last week or didn't listen to the recording, they always ask me, say, why can't someone make a Gemara which just says all the final conclusions? Why do we have all this back and forth? I said they did. It's called the Rif. And that's what the Rif's job is. The Rif, as we mentioned, uncharacteristically, and the Rush, the same thing exactly, uncharacteristically has this massive, massive introduction. But you know what that introduction says? Halacha. Then, let's read the beginning of the Rush. I just have the Rush open here. It's the same thing as the Rif. Masisin. Mashkin. Based Ashlachan. Vimod of Shriyas. Bein Mimayin. Shriyas. Fazil. Vein Mimayin. Shalai. Tzvila. Avalomi Megushamim. Vlomi Mekil. Vleinos. And Uvios. Likfanim. Okay? What would you expect the Rif and the Rush to say next? The definitions. Why?
They should know where to go.
Okay. I would think it would say the conclusion of the Gemara. But what does it say? My mashma da haishlachin lishna ditzachusahu. How do I know that it's this? And it brings a pasuk and the translation. It doesn't give you a definition per se. I would expect it to say beis hashlachin in beis habal lo, but it has this whole thing of lishna demiasvusa and lishna ditzachusa. What? That is bizarre. I would think, based on my very limited learning of Rif and Rash, it's not the type of thing they normally bring in the Gemara. They don't bring the sources so much, unless it's relevant, again, to know whether something is Doraisa, Durabanan. Certainly no one's saying that the chiluk between Beis Abba and Beis HaShlachan is Doraisa on Chol Hamoed. I don't think. Maybe someone will say that somewhere out there. Especially since one's from Yeshaya, so who knows, and Divrei Kabbalah. To me, it would just make sense for them to say, Mashkin Beis HaShlachan, not a Beis Abal, right? Beis HaShlachan in Beis Abal Lo. And if you want to go so far as to give a definition, which I'm not even sure they would do normally, because they usually don't add in, but if you want to go as far as to give a definition, say, Beis HaShlachan is Samei, and Beis Abal is, what are they giving drushes and psukim, and what's going on? Why? Okay, why are they bringing all these definitions? You have to say then, like a lot of you are thinking, like a lot of you are protesting, that there must be a halachic element in these definitions. The whole idea here is to provide a halachic element. If that's the case, our definitions are critical here, and they must be very precise. This, I believe, is another way to answer the Rosh Hashanah's kasha. As we mentioned, what does Revi'a Sheroveya Sakarka mean? Okay, it means that it rains, and the rain saturates the earth and causes things to grow. How many times does that take, like we said? One, how many fields get zero rain ever? Guess. I'm just going to give my own guess. None. Get zero rain ever? So now, what happens? Exactly, it'd be a desert. It wouldn't be a field. There's no such thing as a field that doesn't get. There's no such thing as a. So now, were the Gemara to have said, Umay mashma dai beis habal lishna of rain and saturated and so, because it says, Kiv al-Bachur Besula, not, sorry, and if it would answer, because we call it Kamanda Amri Inchi Mitra Bala Da'ara, you would have a massive, wide-ranging definition of what a Beis Abal is. And what does that mean? People would say, oh gosh, well, this field gets rain once a year, but it falls under the definition of Beis Abal. How do I know? The Rif said it. The Rush said it. They quoted the definition of, again, would the Gemara have said that it was about Mitra Bala De'ara? And the Rif and Rush would quote that. People would say, I can't water my field in Chol HaMoed. It gets rain once a year. Mitra Bala De'ara. It's a Beis Abal. Why it gets rained on? The Rif and the Rush said so. So therefore, it's specific that the Gemara Bidafka chooses a comparison, an imagery that's not so wide-ranging. That's only one, shenismale chefzoba. It's only one that doesn't need any more rain, so as to limit the halachic definition of Beis Abal, so people won't lose out. Okay, ultimately, it's not a question of being over an Avera here. That would be if we expanded Beis HaShlachim. But if we're expanding Beis Abal, what's it going to mean? Everyone's going to say, oh, this is a Beis Abal, that's a Beis Abal, this is a Beis Abal, that's a Beis Abal. Why? Bala Mitra Da'ara. It rained in my field yesterday, it rained in my field a month ago, it rained in my field 5 months ago. Bala Mitra Da'ara. And this you only pick up because you see the Rif and the Rush bring this whole Drasha and Targum. Again, where do you see such a thing? So therefore, in a Hanami, even if we're not, if we're in Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rashash is Kasha and the Yerushalmi, so fine, you say this is not meant to be a halachic definition. This Gemara is umay mashma dahai beis hashlachim lishna. It's just telling you it's an agadata. They hold, yeah, it's a nice way of saying what is the definition of Baal. We'll discuss that a separate one. What's the definition of shlachim? We'll discuss that. What's the main idea behind them? These psukim. But when you're the Bavli and the Rif and the Rosh, and therefore, again, the Ritva's interpretation of the Bavli and the Rashash is Kasha, it's very, very critical that if you realize that this has halachic implications, then you're going to be darn careful with your language. And you're going to specifically choose the one that is closest to the actual definition of Beis HaBaal so as to avoid people getting into this pitfall. Make sense? No sense. You agree? You disagree? There's a lot to this.
I'm not sure if I agree with your concept that one rain is sufficient. They're using a metaphor here. And in their metaphor, they're explaining the word. But they still
so that's,
add the Yerushalmi, you know, when they go through it, they add that the land is completely, has no other needs after.
Correct. I think, so let's be clear. No one, the Ritva, according to the Yerushalmi, I think this is very important. Even according to the Yerushalmi, the Ritva is still trying to make a chemistapik b'megeshamim. The point is, but the Rashash's question is not. The Rashash's question is just, again, from Mitra Bala Da'ara. Because the Rashash is viewing this as agadic in nature, and we're just trying to find a connection to the word. So find a connection to the word in a much more obvious way. But if you're taking it really as again, something that's leading towards people paskening halacha, you've got to try to limit that definition to only what it actually is. Because this is all metaphor. But you know what? Sometimes people take metaphor too literally, as we know. So I think that that's, again, to a degree, a very important tension in the Gemara here. You have one set of Rishonim that's saying the Gemara is expressing an idea. It's an agadic Gemara, essentially. And it's telling us where did the name come from. Okay, it's explaining what people say, right? Especially thinking, right, again, people called this a Beis Abal. People called this a Beis HaShlachin. So fine.
The term Beis HaShlachin is in the Mishnah. Is Beis Abal in the Mishnah or just the Gemara?
So it's in other places, I believe. I forgot to look that up. I did do research. It's not in our Mishnah, for sure not. It's in the Gemara.
Beis HaShlachin is in our Mishnah.
And we saw last time Beis HaShlachin is in our Mishnah, and we're going to get to that in a second. You're foreshadowing over here our next discussion. Take a look at the Rambam. Let's read the Rambam together. Hilchos Yontif Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. Ve'elu hein. Kol melacha. Here's your rules of Chol HaMoed. Kol melacha. Shim lo yase osa b'moed. Yihyesham hefsid harbe. Any melacha, if you don't do it, there will be hefsid harbe. We talked about hefsid maruba last time. Hefsid gadol in Rash. In Rashi on the daf. Osin osa. You can do it. Uvavad shelo yehe bat torach harbe. So long as it's not exceptionally troublesome. Keitzad. What does the Rambam say? Unbelievable Rambam. mashkin beis hashlahin b'mohed avalo beis hamashke.
Changes the language.
Rambam, I've had enough of Baal. No Baal over here to be found. Okay?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you were going to give a shiur about this topic before you even open the Gemara, we're just sitting here and you're talking, you say there's an idea, you can't do malacha on Chol HaMoed.
Yep.
And the example the Mishnah gives is about watering a field.
Yep.
And the general idea is you're allowed to water a field that if it doesn't get water, the things will die and you'll lose money.
Provided.
Otherwise, you can't.
Yep.
You're not going to start talking in sexual terms. Why is the Gemara bringing in this kind of terminology?
Because, again, that's
like,
what
that's
the Gemara...
That's what the Rambam's saying. He's avoiding that kind of sexual stuff. And just saying it needs water, it doesn't need water.
So I think that's... I don't know that he's necessarily avoiding the sexuality, because he does have the term stay habal in one other place.
No,
I looked,
but
it almost avoided,
so
but over here. Yeah. No, he doesn't have it over here. I'm saying one place in the Rambam. I looked in the whole Rambam. Does he ever quote the words beis habal? I think it's stay habal once. But I don't think he ever says beis habal. But the point is, I think the Rambam is even simpler than that, by the way. The Rambam, I just was learning the sugya of Mitzvot Shrechos Kavana. Those of you who saw the Beit Midrash, I learned it over the summer with actually the Cold Stream Kolal. I went there for Yachikala for a week, heard Shiurim for a week from Rav Pam on it. But then they had me give a shiur, a short summary shiur. They were learning it at night Seder. Yes, Kol Avreichim is where I had a week there in the summer. It was beautiful Yachikala. And then since the night Seder, the Beit Midrash, was learning it for night Seder, they said, anybody who doesn't have something to learn, we're going to learn this again. And they said, okay, you know, Ezra, you just learned this, maybe give a shiur on it. So there's a Rambam. There's a famous steer on the Rambam about Mitzvot Srichos Kavana. Okay? The Gemara opens up talking about the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach and says, kafu parsiim yatza, if you got forced, you're yotze, which seems to imply mitzvahs einon srichos kavana. And the Gemara says that explicitly. This would mean mitzvahs einon srichos kavana, and therefore, tokea l'shir, yatza. Yet, when it comes to shofar, the Rambam paskins the opposite direction. You need to have kavana. Okay? So everyone has to steer on the Rambam. What's lost in all of the beautiful lamdisha explanations of the Rambam, and I forget where I saw this, and it's not a logical, you still need a logical explanation, you still need a svara. But what someone points out is because the Rambam's just quoting two different Gemaras, and one Gemara says this, and one Gemara says that. The Rambam's just quoting the Mishnah. The Rambam's quoting Mashkin Beis HaShlachin B'Moed. He doesn't need to come on Beis HaShlachin, and then there's the one that's already watered. Okay?
So why doesn't he quote Beis HaBaal?
Because it's not in the Mishnah.
It's in the Gemara.
It's in the Gemara.
No, so then why did the Gemara use that language?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what people call it.
So why do people use that language?
So.
Because they're based on some pasuk in Yeshaya?
So most likely, Mitra Baladara, Roveya. It was just what people called it. Maybe there was another terminology and meaning that the Gemara doesn't bring somewhere. But ultimately, it was known as a Beis HaBaal. There's no question. We see Beis HaBaal, we see Beis HaShlachin. Now, whether or not, okay, it's strong sexual terms, and that's why the Rambam's censoring it almost, I would imagine that he would never bring this at all. But I think what the point is, the Rambam's saying, I'm just teaching you the halacha of the Mishnah. The halacha of the Mishnah is, you can do this. I'm rephrasing the Mishkash. Shim lo yashka Beis HaShlachin v'yaretzes me'ah yafsidu kol ha'ilanos sheba, which is like Pizan Perish Mishnais, uchshemashka osa... Lo yid levi yashke min abrecha mi meg shamim neshu torakar lo mashke min amayan venshu benji yatsa ketchila mamshicha u mashke bo vachin kol kiyotze benji haya benji yatsa ketchila. Okay, the point is the Rambam avoids this terminology and in this way avoids the pitfalls of having to provide a definition which will thus be confusing to the reader.
But what's the benefit of the Gemara using that terminology?
Because it's what people call it. What's the benefit? What's the benefit of calling it a Beis HaShlachin? Why not describe what it is? Because that's what people call it. The Mishnah has to talk to people who are living. The Mishnah was the halacha book of the day. And everyone called this type of field a Beis HaShlachin and that type of field a Beis HaBaal.
Just call it an irrigated field.
That's what it's called. That's called a Beis HaBaal. Exactly.
So that was
that's what it's called. That was the terminology. You've got to use it. The Rambam...
It's not an irrigated field. It's a field that...
It's a field that has enough water. The point is...
It's not irrigated. It gets rainwater.
It's not irrigated field.
It's not irrigated per se.
It's irrigated by rainwater.
It's naturally irrigated, whatever you want to call it.
Like the Nile, the other one, like Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. All that. Yeah. The point is. Yeah.
Except when we look at it this way, and the way they're defining it, mm-hmm. you know, you started off trying to make it like opposites.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't view them as opposites, defining a beta ball that way is actually making it make out. Because it means there's more things that are beta shlechi than are beta ball, because most fields need something. Beta ball is a very specific field that needs no assistance to grow. The rainwater was sufficient whenever it came, and it doesn't need any man mm-hmm. intervention at that
yep.
point. A beta shlachin is then, by definition, it needs anything that needs
any intervention.
Any intervention.
Yes.
Are there only two categories?
In order to die. We referenced that briefly. It seems to be yes. It seems to be that, again, that's why these terms are critical here, because you need to define exactly what they are.
Right, but it means the Rambam is not doing that by calling
the Rambam is being a machmir.
He's being a machmir.
Yes. Whereas the Rif and the Rosh presumably are being more makel.
How is the Rambam explaining that?
Because the Rambam specifically saying, right? Think of it as like a. It really is not so much machmir makel. I'm going to do a little bit of a drawing here just to try to give you an idea. Okay. Here. Oh, that was not the right type of pen that will work.
You have the beta ball also.
Yes. You have it in many places. That's what I said. It's all over the Gemara. It's the way they would call it.
You know, just while you're looking for that, when it comes to a male, a man and a woman relationship, a marriage mm-hmm. relationship, you don't have to just refer to a sexual relationship. It could be the man provides for the needs of the woman, right? The husband-wife.
Which was more of a meiri, right? So, they don't need anything else. And right? She'ein echad mehem tzarech ela ben zugo. I don't... Right. Meaning, no. The sexual part was the Bala Mitra Da'ara. Was the Mitra Bala Da'ara. No, but it could mean... They're interpreting that as Eino Tzarech Ela Ben Zugo. No. It's clear. The more sexual one is, again, either the Rabbeinu Hananel who says they're the same thing, essentially.
That could be once in a long, long while, and she's pregnant. You see, halakhically, that would make a very big difference.
Right? So the question is like this. What how we were saying before is, okay, here we've got, let's say, Beis HaBaal, and here we've got Beis HaShlachin, and then we've got stuff that's sort of a gray area in the middle. Okay? The more that we say Beis HaShlachin, yes, everything else, no, means we increase the amount that's in a Beis HaBaal. The more that we say Beis HaBaal, no, everything else, yes, we increase Beis HaBaal. That's what he meant by Machmir and Mekel. So again, for the Rambam...
What? Of criteria.
Correct. But that's what this whole Gemara is about. That's what the whole Gemara is about. Unless, again, you're saying like we saw in perhaps the Ritva, but maybe the Rach, maybe the question of the Rashash, which is to say, you know what? Maybe this is not meant to be definitional as much as linguistics, as much as just providing us with a general idea. You want to know definitional? Go back to the Mishnah. Go back and primarily, really, at the end of the day, we can't budge from the Derech Emunah. From really what we see the Svara, which we're going to start exploring next week, which is that din beis hashlachin mishtan elefi min hanizra ufizmano bitkufas hashana v'chol shenifzad b'menias hashka have bichlal beis hashlachin. So we'll end with this again. Whether or not this is meant to be agadic in nature, whether or not this is meant to be halachic in nature, the bottom line is we are going to follow the Svara of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, so long as we can fit it in. So much so, getting very back to our very first point. That even something which might be called the Beis HaShlachin, still we could say that's not going to be allowed on Chol HaMoed. Which is exactly the type of attitude that we saw with those who did not consider this Gemara halachic. They say, oh, that's nice, you called this type of field Beis HaShlachin? I don't care, you still can't water in on Chol HaMoed. So again, we have on one side, on the side of Rashi, Rabbeinu Hananel, again, the Yerushalmi, etc., that... This is not definitional, and therefore we don't need to worry about it. Call what you base HaShlachin what you want, we don't care. On the other hand, you have the Rush, the Rif, who are very concerned, presumably, and others as well, who are very concerned, presumably, about what types of ideas people will get and conclusions they will draw, and they would say, what we've been doing the last 2 weeks is very useful halacha. Others would say, this is a waste of time, go and learn halacha for once. So
depending on your definition, that's going to determine whether you can water it or not.
That's what it seems that, again, is more of the camp of the Rif and the Rush. Whereas the camp of Rashi is to call it a Beis HaShlachin. I don't care. You can't water it. because it doesn't need this amount of rain.
It depends what you're growing there.
And I'm saying, ultimately, halacha lemaisa is going to go back to the svara. That's just what seems to be the halacha, which is very much in line with that view of Rashi and others, that we're not going to be so focused on what is a beis hashlach and what is a beis habal, and more focused on is there hefset or not, which may very well be the definition, but probably not.
If these are definitions, this needs human watering and this doesn't, then there's any field somewhere in the world,
yes,
will all people agree which of these two categories it's in, or will you have disputes which category this field should be in? Is it so easy to define particular field?
It depends on which set of definitions you use.
No, if you use that base of bone requires only rainwater to grow,
needs
only the other
to,
one needs
to what? To grow or to not die?
Oh.
Again, that's
oh,
what I'm
okay.
saying. It's still part of the definition. Die. Anyways, we'll call it over here because I want to finish up. They're on YU Torah, yeah. Yeah. So okay. So next week, Hilchos Chol Hamoed, we will see the. Please bring a Gemara if you can with Riff or Rush, or I can copy it out if you want. But you have. Yeah.
I saw.
You have over here. Okay.